Today, we are going to look at the last character I've named in the series, whose name is Paul, the Apostle. So, remembering from the beginning, we are starting with John chapter 14, and then from verse 25 there, concentratingly, we are looking at the Helper, who is named as the Comforter, the Holy Spirit himself, and we gave different, images and names that is referred to. So he's known as the Comforter in the book of John, he's known as the Helper, also in the episodes and the Gospels, he's known as the Intercessor, as an Advocate, he's also known as the Strengthener, the one who stands by, or alongside. So that's how we looked at the work of the Holy Spirit. And then we looked at how the relationship is between the Holy Spirit, the Son, Jesus, and the Father. We talked about the Trinity. I remember the first day, we had a lot of discussion about that. Okay, and then we went ahead and looked at the Samaritan woman. We looked at the cultural barriers that were between the Samaritans and the Jews, and how the Lord engaged the Samaritan woman, to help her descend to come to realize this Messiah, Jesus Christ. She was saying, we know that the Messiah, when he comes, not knowing that he was right there with him, and the Lord made her understand that. And we know that after that barrier of culture, tradition was broken, she went ahead and became the first evangelist in the gospel to preach the gospel to the entire city. Amen. Yeah. And then we moved on. We came and talked about the Apostle Peter. Okay. We looked at the strength of Peter and his weaknesses, a number of them, and how the Lord eventually came to use him mightily. Then last week, we were looking at Jonah. How he had wrestled with God. by running here and there, and God just said, you got to go to Nineveh, whether you want it or not. Since you have rejected the normal transport, I will give you the unusual transport. And he was taken there. And we saw what happened, that God was able to use him mightily. And the interesting part that we looked at was the response of Jonah. After he preached, he went outside the city and he started waiting for the judgment to come upon the city. To his surprise, it did not happen, and he was very upset with the Lord. He said, I want to die. And we identified that Jonah requested for suicide 3 times in the book, telling God to say, I want to die, take my life. And God, he played with his mind, to show him that he wasn't even sure of what he was talking about. Amen. And we concluded there. Now, today, I want us to look at the man called Paul. And I deliberately put Paul at the end because he carries a lot of stories. Amen. So, without wasting much of the time, let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9. And instead of reading from verse 1, I'm going to read from verse 10 to 19. It's deliberate because I want us to identify one man who is not usually talked about, who was very significant to the life of the Apostle Paul. His name is Ananias. Not the Ananias we talked about when we are looking at Peter, the one who died, Ananias and Sapphira. No, this is a different one. Okay, so let's read chapter 9, verse 10. The Bible reads, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here
He has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, let me just read a bit, verse 20 there, 22. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before chief priests? But so increased all the more in strength, and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. Hallelujah. Knowing, discerning, and experiencing the power of God. This is what we are looking at. Now, we've always looked at how the three characters I've earlier mentioned, how they struggled through before they came to realize the power of the Lord in their lives. Same applies to this man by the name of Paul or Saul. Now, when we come to chapter 8 and verse 58, we are going to witness my namesake, Stephen, being stoned to death. After delivering, I pray that you not do that. And if you try to run away, Jesus, because it is not yet my time. So, in Acts chapter 8, verse 58, we are seeing that the Bible tells us that Paul is the one, actually, who approved the death of this man, Stephen. The Apostle Paul, actually, chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, and so approved of his execution. And then when we come to verse 58, we are going to hear that, you know, when you're doing the stoning, it takes a lot of strength and it makes people sweat. So this made people to prepare themselves, the stoners, by removing their garments, all those heavy garments, the coats that were having, they had to remove them and heap them. Now, guess the man who was keeping them to say, please give me your coat so that you can hammer him properly. It was the Apostle Paul himself. He was holding those garments as they were doing the job. I wish they could have repented, you know, all of them, because the man was being stoned after preaching a very long and powerful sermon. Indeed, he did an exposition from the Old Testament all the way to the present, but they couldn't hear that. The Bible says that the more they heard that, the more they became divided. Anyway, they stoned him, and the Apostle Paul was holding the cross, meaning that he would not just approving, as in verse 1 of chapter 8 tells us, but he was there also to authenticate, to prove that indeed the execution was carried out, and the man had been stoned to death. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We can say praise the Lord. Because this man is going to reach nations that Stephen was cut short. So he's going to take up his mission. No problem. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us now that after he did this act, the man became obsessed with the arrestings and the killings now of the people who belong to the way. They did not call them Christians at that time. They were referred to the followers of the way. And Jesus Christ used the same term also in John chapter 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to my Father except through me. Also in chapter 28, verse 19, the same word is used, the way. So, the Apostle Paul now, as a youth, he went zealously to the chief priests. He was like, I am here. You know, you are elderly people. I guess I'm adding those words. They are not recorded in the Bible. You are elderly people. You are tired. So I have this zeal and passion to persecute anybody who is following the way, who is deserting Judaism. So send me. But only give me the authority, the letters. He was given the letters. And then the man said, okay, off I go to Damascus. I'm going to begin with Damascus. And he started going with his servants, or maybe the colleagues. As they were moving, charging the horses, you know, as warriors, to go and arrest all the believers in Damascus, lo and behold, the lightning came from heaven. And all of them, they were struck down. They were there, laying down. And then he heard a voice calling, So, why are you persecuting me? And the man answered by asking a question again. He was like, who are you, Lord? Very discerning. He knew to say, this is not the voice of the chief priest. This is not the voice of anybody. This must be the voice of the Lord. I'm sure he heard it with thunder and power. It went through his soul. All the murderous threats that he was breathing, it penetrated. He felt the difference. He was like, who are you, Lord? And then he said, yes, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now, that answer again, you know, it sounds a bit, you know, strange. How does Jesus say, the one you are persecuting? So, we are seeing here that the Lord Jesus Christ identified himself with the church. Even today, Jesus identifies himself with the church. Yeah. When somebody arises to bring commotion, confusion in the body of Christ, it means he is persecuting the church. Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? I'm sure Paul was like, no, Lord, I'm not persecuting you. In fact, I'm zealously serving you in Judaism. But he said, no. He said, no, you're persecuting me. And that very light which he saw, the Bible says that it made Paul or Saul to be blind. Not to be confused with Saul and Paul. Saul, it is Hebrew, and Paul is Greek. It's one and the same. I've heard people, they say, no, he was changed to Paul after he became converted. No, it's just one language. It's the same name. You know, it's like you are saying Stephen and Stephanos. Okay? The English and the Greek. Amen. Okay, let's move on. Yeah. So, the man became blind. Now, the Bible tells us that the people who were with him, they heard the voice. But they did not see anything. They heard the sound. The Apostle Paul saw as well as hearing. And then he became blind for a period of 3 days. Now, something interesting happened from where we read from. Verse 10, that's why I read that. Verse 10, while Paul, the Bible says that the man was praying and fasting. And he made sure that he did not eat anything. He was praying and fasting. The blindness brought him closer to the Lord. He started seeking the face of God. I believe at this time, he was praying, confessing, and repenting. And then, the Lord again spoke to Ananias. Ananias, he said, here I am, Lord. Which is typical of the way people were answering the Bible. And then he said, the road called Street in the house of Judas, and you are going to find a man called Saul of Tarsus. And immediately, I'm sure he felt his blood boiling. He said, no, Lord, how do I go after this man? You know, Lord, how much havoc, just imagine the word he used, havoc. You know how much havoc this man has caused to the brethren in Jerusalem. Even me, in short, he was saying, even me, I am afraid. I don't want to die under his hands. And the Lord said, no, 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 Ananias, go after this man. He has already seen. Now remember, the man is blind physically. Paul is blind physically. But God made him to have the vision of Ananias. He gave him the name as well as the assignment that this man was going to do. It was to pray for him, to lay his hands upon him and to have his sight recover. So he said, he has already seen you in the vision. What does this remind us of Peter, right? When we looked at Peter, you know, even in the house of Cornelius, it was the same thing. The angel appeared to Cornelius. Peter also was spoken to after that encounter of a vision. So the same thing. The Lord speaks to Paul. The Lord speaks to Ananias. So Ananias was encouraged by the Lord to say, no, you have to go. And this man is waiting for you. And I will show you how much he must suffer for the gospel. Hallelujah. The man obeyed, went there, and he called him now, which is very encouraging. Brother Paul, Brother Saul, the Lord has sent me. He laid his hands upon him. Something like scales fell off his eyes, and he regained his sight. He ate something. Immediately, he started preaching the gospel, proving that Jesus was the Christ. Now, this becomes very dramatic now. The reports had been heard already that the man was charging with horses, coming to arrest, and all the believers were scared, including Ananias. And then, after this encounter, the man enters the synagogues, exposing himself before the Jews, and he begins to preach the different message about Jesus. The man was persecuting. Some brothers and sisters, they looked at him, they said, no, we don't trust this man. He's very innovative. He must have just changed the technique. This is a way of capturing us in numbers. He's pretending to be one of us. But he proved to them that indeed the man had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let's look at Ananias. I've brought this up because I want to look at how we need to learn how to discern the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Spirit of God. This man is described as a disciple, which means that he was just a layman in the church. He was just there. A disciple of Jesus Christ. But is the one, in other words, I can say, is the one who went to do ordination on the Apostle Paul. Amen. Is the one who went to ordain the Apostle Paul. The Lord spoke to him, just like we always hear him speak to us. The Lord spoke to him and gave him an assignment which was unusual. It was an assignment which had to deal with something opposite. We saw with the Samaritan woman, whatever Jesus was talking was opposite. Same applies to Peter. Everything was going opposite. But the Lord had to convince him to say, no, it is me who sent him. I have prepared this man.
this is teaching us that God will send us sometimes to the most notorious and dangerous criminals. I'm just giving that as an example. I'm sure everyone is going like, ooh, criminals. You send us to the most dangerous people. When he gives you the word to say, okay, now, do it. Now, what I'm trying to say here, or what I'm saying, not what I'm trying to say. What I'm saying is that we need to hear him speak. Once you hear the Lord saying, do it now, then do it. It means the way has already been prepared. You don't come out, you know, on your own, in your own zeal and say, okay, now I'm going to face that giant. There might be some casualties because you have not been sent by the Lord. You're sending yourself. So you have to descend. But when he says, go now, then it means the way has been meant. That's why Ananias was a faithful Christian, but he was afraid, just as we always get afraid too. But when he says, go, we have to go. It means the way has been meant. I'll go into details. Let me just give you a short story. We had gone to do evangelism with my associate pastor in the rural part of the central province of Zambia. So he had some of his family members in that village. So when we reached there, we discovered that the place was being run by a false prophet. You know, was just prophesying false things and getting money from people and so on and so forth. And then the second person who was in charge, in fact there were two people, was a witch doctor. You know, so people were able to go to the witch doctor for help, and then they could also go to the false prophet for help. And the surprising part was that the witch doctor was the member of the church of the false prophet. Oh. You know? And so we heard all kinds of stories, whatever, everything that was going on in there the first day. And then I said, Lord, this is a very dangerous and serious assignment. Now, what made it to be serious was that this witch doctor had invoked a lot of demons upon himself to an extent that they commanded him to leave the village, to go across the river on the other side, to live alone. And only people who were in need of help were going across the river to visit him. So we were only allowed to visit him when you had the need. That was the rule. And he was just a young man, you know. And so we heard all the stories. They were praising him, you know, in the village to say, this man, we've got two prominent men here. The prophet, Franco, that was his name. And then this man. So my associate pastor asked me, was like, Pastor, what do you think? Can we go and, you know, he's a serious young man also. Can we go and preach to that man? I said, ah, no, no. The Lord has not sent us. You know, let's pray, first of all. In my heart, you know, I trembled, you know, I didn't know, because I heard these reports of praising him, of witchcraft, you know, so many things that he had done. I was like, Lord, I didn't come to die here with this man. So Pastor Charles was busy encouraging me, let's go there, let's go. You know, we've prayed for so many people. I said, I was afraid, but I didn't tell him that I'm afraid. I told him, I said, no, no, calm down, we need to pray. We need to map first the surrounding and, you know, pray and hear from the Lord. So the second day, we were just preaching, you know, in the community, and people were getting delivered, things were happening, moving from one place to the other. The third day, I felt the zeal, you know, I felt that power and that conviction. And I heard the Lord very clearly to say, now you can go. All this time, I was just praying about it. Then we started going there. We were escorted by the sister to the very pastor. So march to that place. Cross the stream. We reached the shrine. Now, that was very strange. It was my first time to enter the shrine. We reached there. Entered inside. And we sat
The man was holding a demonic rod and he was closing his eyes. You know, he was like, yes, I know you. I know what you've come for. I didn't even want him to, you know, start like conversations under the zeal of the Lord. I told him, I said, yes, if you know us, praise God. We know you as well. That's why we've come to see you. I'm Pastor Stephen, and this is Pastor Charles. We are here to preach Jesus Christ to you. Very aggressive. Because I knew to say we are in combat, whatever is going to happen. And the encouraging part was like, I'm a karateka, so if he tries to do something, I'll add on the physical part. We'll see what goes. You know? And so, I asked him to say, please, could you allow us to pray? The man said, no. You are not allowed to pray. If you want to speak, I'm respecting you because you have already entered. If you want to speak, you just say whatever you want to say, but don't pray. They have already started warning me. I've noticed you before you even came here. So don't pray. I said, Lord, our strength is in prayer, you know. That was very unusual whereby you just begin to speak in a fortified place. So I just believed God. I said, Lord, have your way. I opened my mouth and started preaching the gospel about Jesus. I didn't know what was going on. The power hit the man. He started vomiting and ran off the shrine. He left us in there. Then the courage came. He started speaking in tongues right there. Father, we bring them down. We destroy every covenant that have been made in here. We started praying. The man couldn't come in. We had to follow him. He started running away. We started chasing him. No, stop. We need to receive Jesus. The unfortunate part is the man ran away. And he did not allow us to preach to him. We kept on following. We kept until he just said, no, leave me alone. This is my life. So we said, okay. We thank God for the testimony that he has shown us that we are. He has showed us that we are more than conquerors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we went now to the church of the prophet. Had an encounter there. It gave me an opportunity to preach. You know, it's a Zionist church, something. Spirit Zionist church, where when you are reaching, it's like a shrine under the tree. You have to remove your shoes. You know, and then you reach barefooted. And then as they are beating drums, they are dancing, they are going around the big tree. I told my pastor, I said, no, we are not removing our shoes. This evangelism will be different. We are not being contextual here. Because we don't know what we are going to tap by stepping, you know, barefooted. So we told him to say, sorry, please, you excuse us. Where we come from, we don't remove the shoes. And he let me. Preached, the power of God came down. Now, that's how the Lord worked. Why have I brought this story? At first, when we heard about this witch doctor, we were afraid. We thought the man was going to bring us down. We didn't know what was going to happen. Because they had talked about people who had gone their area, you know, to preach and they failed. But the Lord was powerful. In the same way, Ananias was commissioned by the Lord to go and face this man who was ready to kill and arrest the Christians, the Apostle Paul. And indeed, the miracle took place. Paul's eyes were restored. And we know that the power manifested thereafter. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, when we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, it is a life that is very interesting. I've talked about the way this man was. Now, when we read Acts chapter 22, we are going to hear how Paul himself, I will not even turn there. You can read it on your own time. Acts chapter 22, just the whole of that chapter. He gives out his full detailed resume. Amen? He gives his full resume, you know. He tells them to say, now, that was when he was under trial, okay? After he has preached now, he's captured, and then he's giving testimony. He gives all the details that I'm the Hebrew.
you know, he tells them the whole story that we've just read here. He recalls the details of the story. He recalls how he persecuted the church and how he himself, he confessed, approving the execution of Stephen. And even told the chief priest to say, "You chief priests who are here, you know that I even got letters from you to persecute the church. But I met the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, I am his servant, preaching." When we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, it is the life of dangerous life. It is the life which we can consider to be the most sinful. Because, yes, there are sins. As human beings, you know, we've got crosses. Though God looks at all the sins as one. But as human beings, we look at lies to be, you know, something that people can do, you know. Maybe hatred, okay, you can hate your enemy. And as human beings, we justify that, though it is against the way God has aligned things. Now, when it comes to the issue of killing, it becomes a different story. And now, not just killing ordinary people, but believers, people who are calling upon the name of the Lord, just as we are. We see the Apostle Paul coming in. Perhaps you can even see Pastor Stephen, you know, using this door, you know. But I think I can stand firm in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We cannot stand firm because we are believers. Amen. I'm just joking. I have faith. This is very powerful faith. That's why I named my daughter Faith, because of the faith that I carry. Amen. So don't worry to say, this guy is talking about this, he's also afraid. No. I have seen the Lord. Yeah. So, this man was going a mile by killing Christians. This was a dangerous mission he had embarked on. So he was considered to be a very dangerous person. But look at what happened. When he encountered the Lord, the whole story changed. This shows us that no matter what kind of life a person might have led in the past, or which they may be leading even now, there is still hope for the restoration of such a one. There is still hope for the salvation of such a one. Because the Apostle Paul is a good example. He even confesses in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he says, "Jesus came to save the sinners, of which I am the chief. I am the foremost, I'm the chief sinner." He calls himself the chief sinner. You know, for you to attain the rank of chief, it means something. And for Paul to just say, "I am chief," he himself, he knew the details of his ranks. He knew. But when he had an encounter, his life changed permanently. There are encounters that we have in life which changes the stories of our lives. I believe each one of us in here have experienced these encounters. That's why we are here. That's why we are following the Lord Jesus Christ. I, for one, I have had mine. And I have experienced the Lord. That's why I'm here. And my life turned around. I consider myself as a chief sinner. Something that people don't know mostly. Because the life that I led, today, people don't know that I used to drink. Heavily. I used to smoke marijuana. Big time. When I was in high school. Every Friday, we had a team of 8 guys. This team was a crazy, confused team. Every Friday, we used to go in the bush near the school. We could remove our uniform shirts, hang them on the trees so that they don't smell the smoke. And then, we would start smoking. We used to call that party Ja Party. You know, as the
Jamaican thing and the like. We used to call it Japat. We used to make 10 of them. We are 8. We will make 10 of the rows. We will smoke each one of us one. And then the two will be now for partying, whereby it will be going round until we finish them. By the time we finish, we will be very crazy. You know, we could start laughing endlessly. You are just laughing. You are feeling your ribs are aching, but you can't just help it to stop. That was the life. That was the life. So many things were going on. You know? And two of my colleagues out of that group, they even went mad on the sad note. We had one guy who was a very quiet guy. He never used to talk. After I started smoking with him, that's when I knew that it was the marijuana that was making him humble like that. You know, one day the guy just came into the classroom and he started dancing everywhere. This was the guy who never spoke in the class, and that day he started dancing everywhere. He's dancing and he had a piece of a tree, you know, a piece of a pole. He was using his as a toothbrush, injuring himself. You know, blood was coming out. You know, he was busy dancing and doing that. So, I know the kind of the life I'm talking about. At one time, when I was in my 11th grade, on a Christmas day, 2004, I left my city to go to another friend's city to drink and smoke. We smoked a dangerous one that day, whereby I started feeling as if I'm set on fire, I'm burning. And we were near a dangerous pool, you know, a dam, where they used to throw dead people, you know, the mafias would kill people, they would go and throw them there, you know. And people would die just in that very place. Because of the marijuana, I had to dive in there, because I was feeling being burned. I started shouting, fire, 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 then I dived. Thank God for my friends. They were not so high. They had to cut me and rescued me. That's what the devil can do in people's lives. And then, you know, after some time, then they were asking me, they were like, Stephen, what's going on? You almost died. What happened? I said, I don't know. I was feeling the fire. You know, friends were burning all over me. The demonic fire, the Satan was burning me. That's why I burn you this time in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So, a lot of dangerous experiences. I told you that I was the first down black belt in karate. That made me to be very dangerous. You know, now I've gained and I look a bit big. I used to be very small. And that used to make people, you know, look down on me, and that made me beat up a lot of people. You know, because they could be talking, you know, start things, say things, I'll tell them to say stop, if you continue, I'll beat you. I would be drunk and high. They continue, I'll grab them in such a way that, you know, it would be hurting, you know, after, you know, in karate, there are so many techniques. I'll just pitch them in such a way that they'll feel tension. They'll try to react. I'll take advantage to say, you see, you're attacking me. Now I have to do self-defense. I'll beat them up. So that when I go to the dojo, I'm not in trouble. I'll just say, it's self-defense. You know, but so that was the kind of the life. You know, in so many ways, to mention just a few. So I know what I'm talking. That's why today when I stand to preach, I do it with passion because I know where I'm coming from. Several times the enemy attempted to kill my life completely. I have been in fights before whereby I beat up somebody not knowing in the midst of the night, not knowing that there were mafias and other 7 guys were hidden in the bush, and then they came. They had the AK-47. You know, hands up, I was there. You can't even do much work and everything. You know, I was there. They started beating me up with my friend. I just had to hide my face, thank God. They beat us up. big time. You are bleeding, they tear your clothes and everything. And then they said, we could have killed you. Now, in Zambia, there was a system of cutting people's ears, private parts, removing the hearts and everything. That was the game. And then they would go and sell those things. You know? So those guys, whatever, God was preserving us. They said, we are going to let you go. They had beaten us with no strength. And then they said, the only opportunity you have is to line up here. You are going to do sports. And two guys are going to be behind you. When we say go, you need to run. If they catch you, then we'll finish, we'll kill you. Only three. The guy just said one. I pushed my friend who started off. I said, if it is to shoot, let him shoot. Because these were two guys. I knew that we are short. The moment they say one, two, three, they will catch us. The moment he said one, we started off. That's how we started running. They chased. We ended up climbing some fence. I jumped at one time, a very high fence. I said, Lord, I'm going to use the skill of karate once and for all. I don't know what I'm going to jump into, but this is my only chance. That's how I jumped. Flew over somebody's fence. I was in somebody's yard, not knowing what I was going to land upon. Thank God, it wasn't in the pit or in anything. It was on a plain ground, and I wrote. I even sat on the veranda of that person. Now, the other thing I always think about is, if the owners, because I was complaining, my God, they have killed me, they have killed me. Owners were inside the house. I was just right by the door. If they came out and shouted that was the thief or shot at me, I could have gone. But thank God, in all those circumstances, the Lord preserved me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In so many occasions, more than 8 times, the enemy wanted to take my life. But God was just there. God was just there. That's why, when the day came, I received Christ in 2000. That's why I told you to say, my Christian journey wasn't so easy. You know, in 2000 I was saved. 2001 even got baptized. After I got baptized, I said, I think this baptism certificate is a good ticket to heaven. You know, I'm baptized. I backslid a bit. And the challenge was, every time I used to dream of preaching, you know, after my salvation, I used to dream preaching. That was making me uncomfortable. You know, I said, no. I am still young. Why should I be preaching? At least I targeted to say, when I reach the age of like Pastor Paul, that's when I will start. I'd put 60 years. I said, I need to enjoy life, and at 60, then I'll start. But God had his own different purpose. So I had to sit down in 2006 after a men's overnight prayer meeting at the Baptist Church. I prayed with this man. I told him. That's why, you know, when we are in small groups and we say, let's pray for one another, it's very powerful. I told this man, the preacher said, tell your prayer partner, what you want God to do in your life. I told him, I want to stop training karate, and I want to stop drinking. I want to stop everything. I want to be committed to the work of the Lord. Now, at that time, on 13th May 2006, in my country, I had emerged as the middleweight national champion in kumite, in fighting, in the tournament. So I was some big, small guy, you know, in that arena. So I told him to say, I want to stop everything. He also gave me his request. We prayed for each other. And I just felt, you know, the presence of God. That night made a difference. That's how it all changed. 2006. From that day, I started preaching the gospel aggressively and evangelism. And I've never gone back. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why have I gone into all these details? I was talking about the Apostle Paul confessing being the chief sinner after persecuting the church and doing all sorts of things. I left the other story. At one time, I almost beat up my friend pastor. He's now a friend pastor. He was those zealous, you know, school guys in Scripture Union in high school, whereby every time the class was quiet, the guy always saw it as an opportunity to preach. And it used to make me mad big time, because the guy wasn't even intelligent. So I was like, this guy, that's why he's not intelligent, because of this thing of preaching, you know. So one time I had to lift him, to take him outside. I told him to say, if I ever hear you preach in this class, that day I'll beat you. I've respected you. You should stop from today. He looked at me, Pastor Godwin is his name, very good friend of mine. He looked at me and he said, my brother, this very Jesus you are refusing today, you are going to become a preacher. The man prophesied. I told him, there is nothing you are telling me. I'm a believer already. I'm a Baptist member. What are you talking about? I'm even baptized. He said, wait and see, my brother. I'm praying for you. I'm sure he prayed powerfully, that guy. I'm sure he went in sorrow home the way I did to him, and he put me on the altar and God visited me. Hallelujah. Now, after that moment, 3 years later, I got on a bus and I had become a pastor now. I heard somebody calling from behind. It was his voice. Pastor Stephen! He heard that I'm a pastor. And that was our first time to meet after that encounter. I turned. You can imagine. That's why you laughed. I couldn't say anything. He couldn't say anything. We just started laughing. Wow. And then at last I thanked him. I said, first of all, please forgive me for what I did. He was like, no, my brother, I was praying for you. I said, praise God. Amen. So, God is able to change lives. Amen. That's why, most of the times when I say that I led my dad to Christ, my mother, and the 8 siblings of mine, it's because they knew the kind of the life I was living. And after they saw total transformation, the day when I started preaching, they believed. They said, surely God has done something in the life of this guy. I now became an example. So, just like the Apostle Paul, no matter how dark our lives may be, there is hope. Amen. There is hope for divine change. Amen. There is hope for divine transformation. This God is able to change your life, is able to change your family, is able to change your entire story. After that moment, there are friends I know, all these schoolmates, classmates, who became Christians upon hearing that I am now a pastor. Because I used to go by the nicknames Destroyer, Spoiler, and Nature. Those were my names. You know, if you had to come to my hood, you know, my ghetto, and say Destroyer, they knew to say it was me. Those were the names. But after they heard that Destroyer has been replaced with Pastor, then they said, yeah, God is powerful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If God can change this guy, then there is hope. Many people have come to the saving knowledge of God. So I'm here to encourage us this evening. Just like the Apostle Paul, he led this life of which he confessed to be the chief sin. But later, this is the man who is going to emerge as the legendary preacher of the gospel throughout the New Testament. He's the only man who came to write 13 books alone, which takes about 3/4 of the entire New Testament. This is the man who wasn't even in the first class of the apostles. He was not among the 12.
Yeah.
But just as Jesus said that I will show you how much you must suffer for the gospel,
It just took 3 days for the man to begin to preach. Everything changed. The very Christians now, instead of embracing him, they started shunning away from him. They were like, oh, no, this guy is dangerous. In fact, he was even rejected by the apostles. They said, no. At first, the believers said, no, he's a liar. This is just a trick that he has come up with. When they rejected him, God raised another man by the name of Barnabas, the son of encouragement. That's what his name means. Barnabas is the one who mentored the apostle, mentored the guy, and had his life transformed. And we are going to hear that after that, Paul started moving in the mighty power of the Spirit of the living God. We have an example in Acts chapter 13, from verse 8 to verse 9. We are going to hear the story of Jesus, Elymas, the guy who ministered before Apollos, the wise man, or the statesman. The Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel to Apollos, and this guy, he started casting his spells, chanting, trying to derail him from the faith. The Bible says that Paul looked at him and he said, "You son of the devil, will you cease to pervert the way? From today, I pass judgment on you." Very strong and scary, right? Just as we looked at Peter last time. You know, when he passed judgment on Sapphira and Ananias. The man, this time, he didn't have now to ask for letters to go and arrest. He had it under control, filled by the Spirit of God. He said, "Right now, I pass judgment on you. Blindness is coming upon you, so that you may learn obedience." And immediately mist covered his eyes. The guy could not see, and he started asking for somebody to lead him by the hands. This is the Apostle Paul. We are seeing the man in Acts chapter 14, when we read from verse 9 there. This is the man, after he preached the gospel, they pounced on him and said, "He has been promoting Judaism, and all of a sudden he has changed against us. We are going to have him sorted out." They stoned him, dragged him out of the city, and they thought he had died. When the disciples surrounded him, the man jumped to his feet. What did he do? You'd expect him to run away to go to another place. On the contrary, he went back right into the same city and he started preaching the gospel again. That is what power can do. Amen. The man eventually was imprisoned because of the gospel. We hear the story of Paul and Silas being in prison. They were praising and worshiping. Instead of crying out, they were praising and worshiping. What happened? The miracle took place. Fire came down. This is the Paul we are talking about. He was the man full of revelations, full of power, to which the Apostle Peter even confessed in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, that the Apostle Paul writes about these things, though his revelations are even hard to understand. Peter confessed that. This is how deep in wisdom Paul was. Now remember, Paul was already a trained man in the highest university of his time, under the professor called Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee. Amen? So God had to use his wisdom now to write all these books that we have today. Amen? May God channel all our giftings today into the right direction, to the glory of his kingdom. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, after all these things, Paul was ready to die for Christ. And in fact, we know that his death was by execution. He was excluded for preaching the gospel. And he kept on in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Towards his death, the man was even joyful. He said the words like, "For I am already being poured out like an offering, like a drink offering. I have fought the good fight of faith. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. Now, the crown is prepared for me, heavenwards. Not only for me, but also for all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." This is the man who had been touched by the Lord, who had met Jesus Christ, who had an encounter with Jesus. This is the man who suffered so much among the believers. Now, I want us to just look at the few sufferings of the Apostle Paul. Let's turn to chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. I'll end with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I just want us to look at how much the man suffered for the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to read from verse 22. He gives his profile again here. When they were opposing him, to say he's not a legit apostle because he's not among the 12. And then he goes on to say, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one." Can you hear that? I am a better one. I need. The man was a better one. "I am talking like a madman," and then he quickly humbles himself. He's like, "Sorry, forgive me, I'm talking like a madman. It's not me." "With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes minus one or less one." Now, just on this one, according to the Roman law, if somebody has been condemned, just like the way they had condemned Jesus Christ, they were to receive 39 lashes. That was the law. You know, you had to receive 40 minus one, 39. Now, the lashes that they were receiving, they were not like, you know, one long thing and then they give you. The description of that whip, it had 9 branches. And those branches were hooked with bones, dry bones as well as metals. So that once you are hit, the bones will enter your body and then they will pull it to scrap off your skin. The Apostle Paul is saying, "I received those." Oh my God. This is serious. For what? For the sake of the gospel. It becomes scary, right? It's heavy now. It becomes very heavy. Yeah. And then, and often near death. Okay, I've already read that one. 25. 3 times I was beaten with rods. These are metals now. Once I was stoned. The experience I mentioned in Acts chapter 14. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for
all churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? Then he goes on to say, if I must boast with all these things, I have done so much. And then in chapter 12, when we read chapter 12, the man talks about, let's just read the first sentences, verse 1 and 2. And then he transitions to say, I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions. He transitions now. The beatings, the sufferings, he comes now to the spiritual realm. He says, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to a third heaven. He's talking about himself. He's just using a hyperbole, you know, to talk about somebody else, you know. A man was caught up to the third heaven. That is where the throne of God is. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, meaning himself, was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be taught, which man may not utter. Hallelujah. Powerful revelations, wisdom and insights. And then he mentioned something that is very important and profound. He said, but in order for the Lord to keep me from boasting or maybe self-pride, a thorn in the flesh was assigned to me, a messenger of Satan. Three times I sought the Lord earnestly in prayer to have it rolled away from me or taken away from me, but his answer was consistent. For in your weaknesses, my grace is sufficient for you. Amen. My grace is sufficient for you. For in your weaknesses, my power is made perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is encouraging to all of us. Even when you go through challenges. Some theologians will say, they will dramatize, you know, this scripture by saying, no, the Apostle Paul had a sore, you know, and he was limping. I think I don't agree with that one. Chapter 11 sets the pace for us to make us understand what he's talking about. It is the sufferings, the beatings, the challenges, the imprisonments, all those things. That is the thorn in the flesh the Lord had assigned to him. And he was praying to say, Lord, remove all these things away from me so that I can live a free life. And the Lord said, no, 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 my grace is sufficient. In your weaknesses, my power is made perfect. And I've come to prove that in my personal life. When things are going on well, it is the human way, you know. We become reluctant, even praying, it's not so much sometimes. You know, you just say a few words, the hallelujahs, and then you want to go on. But when tension comes, then we begin to pray with fire, with all the concentration. God sometimes will use such things to keep us in shape of our Christian life. Hallelujah. Now, I brought this character at the end because it is loaded. Now, if I brought it at the beginning, we might be afraid and say, ah, Christianity is not too good now, you know. But I want to tell you that this is the sweetness of Christianity. We are in warfare. That's why he even wrote about warfare. He's the only man who understood about the principalities, powers of darkness in the heaven realms. Because he's saying that he was transitioning there to see what was going on in the spirit. So we need to be encouraged. His experience has been recorded so that we may learn from it and do better to the glory of the name of the Lord. So there is hope for all of us, regardless of what we are going through, regardless of what we've done,
regardless of what we've passed through, there is hope, there is hope, there is hope. Jesus is powerful to bring restoration, to transform our lives, to change our stories. Just like he changed my life and made me a witness to the glory of his name. I will encounter issues today. I'll have my finger cut, drop down, pick it. I'll still call upon the name of the Lord and say, hallelujah. Lord, I'll praise you and worship you with or without the finger. And I mean that to the glory of his name. Amen.
Amen.
That is what it means. You reach a certain age, a certain age. I mean the age in the spiritual realm of maturity. The certain level of maturity where there is no return. Even if anything happened, you say, here, I have crossed the line. I can never go back. Even Satan knows. He knows it well. Make that decision. Never be discouraged. No matter how the enemy will try to beat you, press you down, rise and shout in the name of Jesus. I am strong to the glory of the name of the Lord. And you help us. Remember, we talked about the Holy Spirit, you know, being our helper, being our comforter, being the strengthener, being the advocate. He's there. All this I have talked about, it comes through knowing, discerning. That's when we experience the power of God. After we've known the Lord, after we've discerned the ways of the Lord, just like the Apostle Paul, he came to discern the ways of the Lord. He came to realize, to say, all the Judaism sect I was following after, I had missed the mark. This is the right way. The way I was persecuting, it is the right way. He started following, and he was ready to pay his life for this very way. And we have seen how much power the man experienced. In Acts chapter 8, in the last chapter, we will hear that the Apostle Paul at the highland of Malta, the man was bitten by a viper as they were collecting the fire to make the fire, because they had just disembarked from the ship. They had experienced that shipwreck. It clung to him. It clung to him. It beat him up. And the Bible says that he shook it into the fire. The highlanders, the dwellers there, they knew that the snake was poisonous. They started looking at him. They said, hey, let's see how long it would take him to drop and die. The Bible says that they waited and waited. The man was just the same. Nothing changed. And then it is them who changed now. They said, this man must be a god. He must be a god. And there was even a temptation of wanting to sacrifice to him, just like in Acts chapter 14. Amen. So, this is the power. The power was at work. When the presence of God surrounds you, you will not fear. When the presence of God surrounds you, as you are experiencing it, even when there is darkness, the dark cloud is ahead of you, you still have that hope. Many of you have heard me share. Pastor Kwa has heard so many stories. I've shared a lot, you know, with him. And sometimes we've just been laughing, you know, over issues. I had this dark cloud of scholarship, you know, it was so heavy. I started seeing Zambia, you know, I started seeing the plane taking off from Los Angeles, landing in Lusaka, going back. But there was this still voice, and Pastor just used to encourage me. I can sense you, the Lord is making a way. The Lord is making a way. And when the issue of you know, the elections came up, I was like, ah, there's a small scholarship that is coming from this one. If I go through, I'm sure I'll get something. And then it didn't happen. I told Pastor, I was discouraged that day. We started laughing. I was like, Pastor, it didn't work. He was like,
God has got a purpose. So, you know, we talked about it. But later, God just made a way. Through Fuller, I just discovered I was granted a grant of $22,000. That is not a joke. Amen. Amen. That is the total of $22,000 this year only. And that was my birthday gift. I didn't even know about it. You know, I went there to negotiate to have the hold lifted. I was told to say, I was making an appointment. This lady was like, what appointment? I said, the hold. You know, you don't shout too much because there are so many people in the office. Right? The financial hold. She was like, what? She was like, what? I was like, the financial hold. And she said, no, there's no word here. I said, praise the Lord. Maybe it's because I've been coming frequently each quarter. He has already lifted it. She looked at me, she said, no, Stephen, you're not understanding. You are not owing the school anything. I looked at her, I said, no, 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 please. Have you checked my name and my G number? She said, yeah. I said, no. In fact, there is extra 37 cents. I said, no. I said, no, 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 no. Please, print the statement. I want to hold it in my hand. She looked at me, she smiled, she printed it, gave it to me. I didn't know what to say. And I was touched. Mary called me, she was like, how did it go? I said, I'm coming, I'm coming. When I reached there, I said, everything is paid. She thought I was joking, so she said, please, don't joke when things are serious. I said, I'm not joking, everything is clear. She said, let's be serious, please tell me. Have you registered? I said, here's the statement. I was also amazed. That was the gift, the birthday gift the Lord gave me this year. Yeah. When I turned 35 in a number of years, not on document. I'm saying this because FCBA knows what is on the document. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, all in all, God is powerful. He's able and he's more than able. May we know the Lord for sure from deep down our hearts. May we be open to hear his instructions every time he speaks in that still voice, every time the Holy Spirit whispers. And may we experience his unstoppable power and presence, which is going to affect many lives, even in our church, in the glory of his name. Amen. Hallelujah. May I end here. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for this time which you allocated to us, Lord, to learn your word, to share, Lord, our experiences. May your name be glorified. I pray that, Lord, may we put this word into practice. Holy Spirit, open our ears that we may be hearing you every time you are speaking to us. Lord, may we know you more and may we experience your power and presence in our daily lives. Thank you, Lord, for today and for everyone who is in this place. Let your blessings rest upon each one of us. Amen. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.